TikTok, what I think is really exciting is that they are making an exceptionally large amount of keyword data available for free to anyone with an account. So you don't even have to have a business account to access this, but it's called their Creator Search Insights tool. And it's just full of amazing, really highly targeted information. And obviously it has immediate applications for social content creation. I think it's just a really smart way to adapt very early to any content that may be relevant for your brand.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. At the moment, that's SEO. And in each episode, we release a new one every Wednesday. I get to interview a different expert to explore a different piece of advice on making that marketing method work for you. At the moment, we are deep in 5 episodes about SEO. Yes, search engine optimization. What a lot of news there's been this year in search engine optimization land. But in this episode, we're kind of ignoring all of that, although it will filter into some of our discussion. But our topic is about how you can create trending SEO content by looking at data you can get for free out of TikTok. Sounds complicated, doesn't it? It sounds like a lot of work. It really isn't. And I'm not going to steal the thunder of our guest. I'm going to let her explain it all because she does such a great job of it in this episode. So prepare to discover a new tactical SEO strategy that pretty much any brand can use to tie in your business with trends and generate quick, fast traffic to your site. Make sure you listen right to the end of the episode because at the end, my guest will be sharing some quick fire insider tips to help you maximize the performance of SEO. And then I'll share my take on it all and outline a couple of other ways we can help you improve your SEO even more. So stay tuned right to the end, everybody.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
In this episode, I'm chatting with SEO expert Christine Corbin. Christine has over a decade's experience in the fashion industry, first working corporate roles at a variety of women's wear and fine jewelry brands, and now as a soloist, specifically helping her clients with SEO optimization and SEO-focused content creation. Hello, Christine.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the show. Now, how did you end up in the world of SEO?
Yeah, kind of a circular path. I started in corporate fashion at a variety of women's wear companies and then eventually at a fine jewelry company. And I was always on kind of marketing adjacent or women's like project management teams. And once I went freelance, I started taking on more overtly digital projects because that really lends itself well to consulting, of course. And I started to notice kind of a lack of awareness in the SEO space, like just this sort of gap between what my clients understood and what I was starting to understand was really important for their sites. So I actually did an SEO apprenticeship around 6 years ago now with an agency based out of California, specifically to like close that knowledge gap for myself. And yeah, the rest is history. I really started to love it. And I just think it's so fascinating.
I love that you say you were finding a gap between what your clients thought they needed done as SEO and what you, as someone getting deeper and deeper into SEO, realized they actually needed. And I feel like e-commerce brands struggle a lot of the time with what they should do in SEO. For me as a content person, which is, you know, my job is being a content person, knowing a lot about e-commerce, but delivering content, SEO is pretty straightforward. You just create a lot of content, loads of content all over the shop. But in e-commerce, because we've got such defined structures on our websites, and then there's like the blog, what do we do with the blog? I feel like there's a lot of confusion always around the SEO approach for an e-commerce brand, and so many ignore it still. Is that what you find?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I tend to work, especially at first, but still now, with like smaller brands that may not have very large teams. And I think especially with fashion, it's so common, and like rightfully so, that you focus on the aesthetics and the design and like the asset creation. But then there's this whole other side, as you said, around like content creation, which can be really confusing and honestly like fraught for a lot of e-com brands. And then also just the technical side of SEO, especially if you're a small team, I think it can just go like completely unnoticed. Yeah, I worked with like a clutch client one time making high-end gorgeous clutches. And I realized after like working with him for only a couple weeks, he was like, we never get any results from Google. And I went and I kind of did like a deeper dive on his product pages, and like no product title actually said clutch in the title at any point. They all just had like beautiful women's names, and it would be like Elena Silver Chrome. And I was like, okay, we've got a problem that your website says clutch, not one place.
I remember back in the day, and everyone listening, we will get back on topic in a second, I promise you. I do remember once working for a maternity wear company, and that was tricky on the website because you'd be like, the only products they sold were maternity wear. So the natural product title was jeans, was t-shirt, was top, not to have maternity in it. But of course, as soon, everything we wanted for SEO was to slap maternity across everything. But then that has a bit of a negative potentially on the user experience, because you're literally a maternity wear brand. There's nothing non-maternity on the site. So yes, it's such an easy oversight to make on those. But I said we weren't going to tangent too deeply into product names also being title tags and SEO important and all the rest of it. Maybe that's another podcast episode. We're going to be talking about how to use TikTok data to create trending on-site content. Hot topic. Before we get into the TikTok though, hot topics are kind of historically the exact non-SEO strategy. We always talk about long-term keywords, growth, evergreen content when we're talking SEO, not trends. So why should we care about trends, newsworthy stuff, I suppose, in our SEO strategies?
A couple of reasons why I think we should care, besides the fact that trends are fun, and in e-com, I think it's fun to have a good time sometimes. I think we all have this perception, rightfully so, that like good SEO can take months, sometimes even years, to become impactful. And like you have to have this whole process of like making site tweaks, and like you have these slow incremental builds. And I think that still can be true. I do also think that today's SEO ecosystem is changing. We're also going to start seeing, obviously, generative engine optimization, or GEO. And even just with the rise of like AI overviews, for example, the way that people actually click and make it organically onto our websites is just changing really rapidly. So first of all, we have a changing ecosystem that to some extent can reward short-term gains, but also it's just sometimes fun and potentially really useful to a brand's traffic to make like a quick hit piece of content that can quickly capture a trend in the moment. And by definition, it's never going to be a hugely long-term driver, but if you get in early and can create something that really resonates with your audience, you potentially can see short-term, like really great traffic gains. And I just think that's really fun. And last thing I'll say is every social trend eventually is going to make it to search in some context. We know that, even if it's never as big via search as it is on TikTok, for example, every trend does make its way down. So like, why not be an early adopter and like capture some of that traffic for your own brand if you can?
Ooh, I love your take there. And I completely agree. We should be allowed to have fun occasionally, just occasionally, maybe yeah. once a month in our e-commerce businesses. But also, I love the point about trends that start on social eventually end up in search anyway. And being early to the game is always a good idea in the search standpoint. So yeah, I like the idea. Plus, I'm also thinking, you know, as the social media manager, who's probably the person who's going to be picking up, or when you're in social media headspace, if there's only one of you doing all of it, you're going to pick up on these trends. And to be able to do more with it than just create the TikTok or create the Instagram reel, to be able to go, actually, we should spin this out into other forms of content that have more longevity, has to be a good opportunity for search and social to work together.
You're totally right. It's such a natural way to repurpose content between different channels and create that kind of like whole brand ecosystem experience, which I think as we are also seeing more and more AI-driven traffic is going to be just really important. Like, I think we already know that generative search engines like ChatGPT want to see like a whole brand's like footprint online and understand like what makes them different. And I think we also know for both Google and the AI search engines, like new relevant video content is becoming more and more important. And so, yeah, if you absolutely can use this social forward content that you've created and repurpose it on your website, I think that's just going to only help your authority. It's a really natural pairing.
And we talk so often about spinning things up into social and repurposing things into social, but so often not in the opposite direction. So I'm super intrigued to see how we go about doing this. So why TikTok as our research tool for these ideas?
Absolutely. So there are, as you're kind of hinting at, multiple tools you can use to find trending topics. Another huge one is Google Trends that I assume most SEOs are already familiar with. But TikTok, what I think is really exciting is that they are making an exceptionally large amount of keyword data available for free to anyone with an account. So you don't even have to have a business account to access this, but it's called their Creator Search Insights tool. You access it on the app literally just by typing that into the search bar, Creator Search Insights, and you'll pull up this tool that they have. And it's just full of amazing, really highly targeted information. And I've just noticed anecdotally that a lot of people don't seem to know this tool exists. Obviously, it has immediate applications for social content creation. But as I said, since we know everything makes it to search, I think it's just a really smart way to adapt very early to any content that may be relevant for your brand.
So does it work a bit like Google's Keyword Insights tool? A similar scenario once we get into it?
Yeah, it's very similar. So basically, when you click into Creator Search Insights, you'll see an overview of all the currently trending search terms. If your account is already publishing content or you've selected interests or based on the accounts you follow, they're going to tailor those terms to what they think you're interested in. But you can search as well by category, by keyword. Working with fashion brands, I'm pretty much always starting at the fashion category level and filtering from there. But something else really interesting that they do is they have a content gap filter, which lets you see terms that are trending really strongly right now, as in maybe they've taken off really quickly, but there's not much content existing around that term in TikTok yet. So essentially they're saying, this is an area where we would actually like to see more content. This is a content gap. And I think that that has really interesting implications for search as well. But obviously, hot tip, use this for your TikTok and Instagram strategy too. Don't just stop at SEO, but
yes.
Yeah.
So, very cool insights there on things to do with that tool. Is this something, you know, we're living in the world of automation at the moment. Is this something we can automate to get it to just land in our inbox every day? Or is this one we need to log into the tool on a regular basis? And if so, how regularly would you recommend?
That's a great question. I don't think we can automate this to our inboxes just yet. From what I've noticed, I am not able to access this tool on my TikTok desktop app. I specifically have to get it on mobile. That being said, you can add the Creator Search Insights like little dashboard onto your TikTok homepage so that it's always immediately visible to you as a widget. So if you want to make sure it's easily accessible, that's what I'd do. And if anyone knows how to automate insights to their email, please hit me up because I'd like to talk to you. I would probably suggest checking this weekly to start. I mean, it depends on the classic "it depends" answer. It depends on how much bandwidth your team has for new content creation, but I personally would want to be checking it at least weekly. Things can change quickly, obviously, but yeah, I think it could get a little overwhelming daily. You might start to get confused as to where to even prioritize yourself. At least I would.
Yeah, I think weekly is always quite a nice rhythm to do things in. And I guess we want to be doing it fairly regularly because, as you mentioned earlier, this needs to be quickly turned around. We're not looking for ideas for content to put live in 6 months' time. We're looking for a lot quicker. So how quickly should we be aiming to go from, ooh, that's a great idea in the content gap report, to live on the website?
Yeah, so the answer to that is going to kind of depend on the duration and popularity of the keyword, I'd say. Like, obviously, the quick and easy answer is as fast as you can get it up is going to be great to get the largest search wins. And by the way, when you do put this page live on your site, make sure you log into Google Search Console and request that they crawl that page so that it gets crawled and indexed faster. We're all about speed for this trend task. But if obviously you're trying to prioritize and you're like, what needs to come first? Look at the trending history of the keyword, which you can also see in the Creator Search Insights tool. You can see, like, did this keyword just blow up yesterday, or has it already been trending for a few weeks? If it has a bit of a longer shelf life, then you probably know it's something that's going to like stick around a little bit more. And an example that's immediately coming to mind is kind of the Barbiecore trend that happened around the Barbie movie release a year or so ago. Sorry, I'm terrible with timelines.
I'm not sure either, but I know exactly what you mean.
That one really did last a while. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there was a couple month period there where I was being inundated with Barbie inspired outfits. And there was like the press tour. Margot Robbie was always wearing these amazing looks. So it's going to be really on a keyword by keyword basis.
But to be getting it live within a week would be an acceptable time frame. It doesn't have to be within an hour, but we probably shouldn't leave it a month.
I'd say so, especially because if we're just being realistic, it does take trends longer to migrate from TikTok more broadly to Google. So yeah, I don't think you're like, I wouldn't say you're going to miss the boat if you can't get it out in a day. I think a few days, a week, you know, do what's doable for you. But yeah, I think that's fine.
Got it. And what sort of on-site content are we creating? Is this blogs? Is it product pages? What sort of on-site collateral should we be going with?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, when it comes to the world of e-com, we obviously tend to be a bit more limited as far as the types of content and pages that we're publishing. To me, one of the most interesting page types you can utilize this for is themed collection pages. I am always really interested when I see someone kind of hitting a targeted collection page just to collect really specific niche traffic. An example that I saw that did quite well was during Taylor Swift's Never Ending Eras tour of, again, I'm going to say last year, the Nasty Gal site did targeted like Eras tour collections. And it was like literally the first collection that came up. Like if you searched Eras tour outfits, the Nasty Gal site would immediately come up because they had created this really targeted and like on point collection. The collection page level is also, in my opinion, really good for like more casual browsers who aren't totally sure exactly what they want, but they're like, I simply heard the phrase coastal grandma and I am wondering how I can dress like a coastal grandma this summer. They might not have one specific piece that they want, but a collection can be a really nice way to like draw them into your site. And it's also, it doesn't require you to create a brand new product, which I'm not at all recommending to capture a trend. I'm not saying try to create a new SKU. You can sort of put together a beautiful little selection of products that kind of go along with this idea. And that's a really nice way to gain traffic around that keyword.
So we're literally curating a look, a wardrobe, an outfit in the fashion space with a page that's got the right titles, the right bit of copy on it. And that's about, it's that simple.
I think it can be. I also love a targeted blog post if it's going to be brand relevant and provide something useful to your target customer. Those can be a little bit trickier to get right. So you want to make sure that like you're bringing your own take to it. I mean, same with collection pages. You want to make sure it's relevant to your brand and your target audience and you're putting your own unique spin on it. I also can see on the lines of blog posts, like style guides can do really well for this. I remember the Into the Gloss site did a lot of style guides around like the makeup from Euphoria. And that was a really interesting way to highlight kind of a trend that everyone wanted to replicate. And then of course, when you have a blog post or a style guide, you can get lots of beautiful links between your product pages and your collection pages. And that kind of interlinking can really help show Google that that's an important page to look at. So.
Got you. And I have to say, what I like so much about doing this with collection pages is all the linking's basically already taken care of, isn't it? Because you're pulling products in, so the products automatically link back to themselves. Whereas with a blog, you've got to go and put in the links and all the rest of it. Whereas with the collection page, you are away. What sort of results are we likely to get from this? I know, it's an it depends, isn't it?
No, I think it does depend on the keyword and kind of the shelf life of this keyword. So I think for something, for maybe like a broader or larger trend, like let's say the Eras Tour, it went on for months. People in a lot of parts of the world were like interested in this and actively browsing for this. You can expect to see like a lot longer traction for something extremely niche. Like I just said, coastal grandma, how much traffic is there around that? Really, you need to have the perfect combination of like, this is exactly relevant to your audience and you've like put your own spin on it. That's probably going to be like a much shorter term thing. But what I will say, unlike typical sort of long-term content strategy, the difference is you should start seeing traction sooner rather than later. And if you're not, you might want to try like tweaking and testing.
And I suppose it's one of those where we're going to, you know, if we did 10 of these over the course of half a year, maybe five of them hit and five of them exactly. Do nothing, but it's giving it a go to see what will actually bring the traction in for us.
Absolutely. And you can obviously pair this really well. I know we're talking the SEO side, but of course, if you're creating especially specific collection pages, there's a lot of bandwidth to use these as perhaps landing pages for like paid ad campaigns, and you can kind of mix and match there, which could be interesting.
And obviously you'd then create a TikTok of it, share that, Instagram photos, share that, and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
Love this. Now, is this, we've used all fashion examples. Is this fashion specific, or is this going to work for other types of product too?
I don't think it has to be fashion specific. I think there's a lot of products that this can work for. And again, you're going to want to obviously search data that like matches your brand's niche. But one other space where I obviously see a lot of like immediate applicability is like the food space. I think there's so many TikTok food trends that you can look at and food trends that end up more broadly making it to search. Yeah, I think there's actually a lot of applications like across industries.
Yeah, I guess it, because the Eras Tour, yes, there's a fashion element to it, but it wasn't about fashion. It was about music, but you could tie that back to fashion. I'm sure you could have tied that back to other areas as well. The same with big film releases, movie releases. I mean, look at how many people managed to get on the Barbie thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's very cross. I guess you've got to be a little bit creative, haven't you? That's the key thing, is to have that creative thought process to work out how to wind it into your brand.
That's exactly it. You never want to just jump on a trend for the sake of getting on that boat and trying to get little traffic wins. It does truly need to be aligned with your customer and be providing like your own take on it and why they would want to come to you for that thing. So just keep that in mind. Like if it doesn't feel true in some capacity to your brand, then I would say better to hold back. Yeah.
Anything we've missed that people need to know about before they dive into this?
Oh, one thing I'll say, think about the total user experience when you're creating on-trend content. So typically the cycle is going to be users are going to learn about this trend probably from TikTok, maybe Instagram Reels. We know that it tends to be TikTok first, then Instagram, then disperse to wider search. So you don't need to write like an explainer of the trend necessarily. By the time a person is going to search for, I'm still sticking with Coastal Grandma, I love the concept, but by the time they're searching for Coastal Grandma, they already know what it is and they've probably seen a bunch of TikToks about it. And they're just now in their more research stage of like, oh, I love this vibe. I want like a pair of linen trousers that makes me look like a coastal grandma. And then they're going to find you. So just remember the user experience and kind of how the trend cycle works. Like your job as a brand isn't to, typically I wouldn't say it's to explain these trends to people. It's just to put your own unique spin on it and show your customer like where your value comes from.
Got you. So if we were Nasty Girl doing their Eras tour, we wouldn't be starting with Taylor Swift's on tour at the moment doing a, the assumption is people understand it. Love that point, because that could easily send you astray. Christine, thank you for taking us through all of that. It's been great picking your brains about how to use TikTok data to create trending on-site content. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Christine's insider tips on SEO and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things further in your business.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Okay, Christine, so far we've gone deep into how to use TikTok data to create trending on-site content. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of SEO. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with SEO, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Yeah, I'd say SEO can be a little overwhelming to get started on, and there's so many great tools out there, but a lot of them are paid. For newbies, I would say don't forget that there's so much free data that does exist and that you have on hand. You just need to know where to look for it. So I think like TikTok is a great example. As I said, I've just noticed that if you're outside the social sphere, you might not have thought that that's a great resource for you, but it's there and it's free. And similarly, Google Trends is also completely free. That's obviously more data that has already made its way to the search ecosystem. Answer the People is another one. But if you're trying to start doing keyword research and seeing what are people really searching for right now, you actually have a wealth of like totally free places that you can get started.
I love that advice. So often it's like, oh, we need to go and buy something to do our SEO. I'm going to add to your tip a little bit here. We've just hired someone to deal with all our SEO. And the amount of actions that have come out of purely the Google Search Console data, which I had set up, but I never looked at, people, never got around to looking at it. It's just huge. You know, it's like we're not looking at anything else until we get all that sorted, and then we'll make things more complicated. So I love the advice of going to the free tools first. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah, so obviously we've been talking about trends for SEO, which is naturally going to be like a shorter term content solution. But talking more broadly about content for SEO, remember that it's not always about reinventing the wheel, as in you don't always need to be creating new content and staying on that new content treadmill. A lot of SEO is actually refreshing and refining content that you've already created and seeing what's working and actually doubling down on that. So that's like my favorite way to keep optimizing in the content sphere. I'd say, as you mentioned, Chloe, Google Search Console, so full of valuable data. Log on there and see which pieces of content on your site are producing the most organic traffic. And as long as that traffic is continuing to trend upward, you're most likely okay. But if you start to notice that a piece that had previously done really well is starting to trend down, that's your moment to say, how can we refresh this? What can we add to give this like the 2025 spin, rather than panicking and thinking we must replace this with X number of new articles? Remember that you should be doing both. You should be refreshing and not just always creating.
Good advice in the world of SEO there. Refresh it, people. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Yeah. So as we all know, now more than ever, SEO is changing really rapidly. And of course, we have GEO that's kind of coming up and we're all a bit confused as to what's happening. So there's a lot of LinkedIn creators that I love who are kind of helping to keep all of us up to the minute on Google's algorithmic changes. But one person I'd love to highlight is Lily Ray, R-A-Y is her last name. Her LinkedIn posts about SEO and algorithmic changes and kind of the changing face of AI on Google and ChatGPT and elsewhere are so good and so easy to understand. I love when her posts come up on my feed. So I'd say it's really helpful to follow creators like that who are keeping up with every single Google press release so that maybe you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to be the first person to read the press release. You can wait until someone else has interpreted it, so long as the person who you're letting interpret it for you is good. And it sounds like we should all be following Lily Ray. I will be straight after this. So thanks for that, Christine. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Yeah, it's obviously a strange time in terms of organic traffic. I think we're kind of going to see two things simultaneously. We're already seeing sort of a contraction of organic traffic on Google's end, in large part because of the expansion of AI overviews. Data is suggesting that people don't tend to click through from AI overviews the same way that they would have from the normal Google results that we all used to know and love. So on one hand, you might be seeing impressions increasing, but click-throughs decreasing. And I think that for better or for worse, that's going to continue in the next 6 to 12 months. But simultaneously, I think we have this really interesting opportunity, which is the rise of generative engine traffic and especially AI-generated shopping results. I'm very interested to see how that expands in the coming months, especially since Shopify and OpenAI have announced their partnership. So I'd say now is a good moment, if you haven't already, to get some reporting set up and start watching generative engine traffic, because it's going to be the next thing.
Yeah, I don't think we can get away from it.
No.
And we do have a session a couple of episodes ago for anyone who wants to understand what to do about generative AI traffic with some theories on how we can do better in that part of the search results. So I'll give you the proper information on that, everybody, when we get to the end of the show. Christine, though, we are very nearly at the end of the show. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business if they want to get in contact?
Absolutely. So feel free to come say hi to me on LinkedIn. I'm really active there and I love chatting with people. And my website is christinecorbin.com. So it's just my name. I write an e-com newsletter called Add to Cart, and it is full of SEO tips, but also conversion rate and sort of more holistic marketing tips and just talking about the state of the industry. So if you are a fashion and beauty brand, I would love to see you there.
Easy as that, everybody. Christine, thank you so much for coming on the show. I love this very different take on how to make SEO work for us. I think it's genius, and it not least because it integrates with all our different marketing channels, and her holistic approaches are always good in my book. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing it with us all.
Thank you for having me, Chloe. It's been great.
Who'd have thought it? A great idea for tactical SEO activity. So keeping an eye on that trend data coming out of TikTok, that was called the Creator Search Insights tool that you'll find on the mobile version of TikTok. Add it to your dashboard. Check it weekly to see what ideas are coming up. And when one makes sense for your brand, jump on it, create a collection page or even a blog if it's that much of a slam dunk for you. Go to Google Search Console and tell them to index it and see what happens. Not all of them are going to hit, but some of them will. And if you find the right ones, I think it could really, really pay off for you quite quickly. Plus, of course, if it's worth doing one of the pages on the website for, it's also going to be worth adding into your email marketing, your social media, and so forth. So you can get our notes on everything we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the right episode page. When you get there, please do add yourself to our email list so you catch up with all the other stuff we share. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then check out episode 263, two before this, which is the one I mentioned earlier, where we're talking about the ChatGPT Shopify impact. And you can find our full thread of SEO content by scrolling up your feed or just using the short link keepopt.com/SEO. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook.